Welcome to the Echo Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message.
I just want to continue on, if that's okay, just in this space, in this place of what the Lord is doing. Because I've been wrestling with just a message and what he's wanting to say for the last few weeks, and just a real, I don't know, just a real challenge to get it out. Even last week, I was taking some pain medication for some teeth problems that I've been experiencing that aren't fun. I've had a horrible first quarter when it comes to health. Even more things than the kidney stone been going through, which I'll share at some point because it's important, because we all go through stuff. But had some just horrible teeth situations. Had to get a wisdom tooth taken out, which is no good. This thing was just, it was probably the biggest tooth the dentist has ever seen, to be honest. With the roots going at right angles. Took about 45 minutes to get the thing out. Oh, it's no good. I'm like, is she going to slip and cut my tongue off? Because she was like, little woman, but I chose her because she seemed gentle and kind. But she wasn't that gentle and kind. And I took some severe pain medication that I actually got for my kidney stones in case I got another one. But I thought, oh well, it's pain, so I'll take that for my tooth, which is fine. I thought. So last Saturday night, yeah, I took that, but then I had some melatonin with it because I didn't really think that you shouldn't put the two together because melatonin's a natural sleep thing. But I woke up absolutely cooked, and I drove up here, got my coffee, and I was really excited about the message. So I feel the Lord all over it, really feel him all over it, and then I was trying to tighten, I just couldn't get it out. And then even this week and just some stuff, and then even this morning, just a swirl. But I just said, Lord, what do you want me to do? I don't even feel like I'm ready to, it doesn't feel like I can communicate it well. Do you know what I mean? But I just feel him this morning on this, because we've been talking about God is good, and it's either a catchphrase or it's a core value. And it's hard. It's not easy for it to be a core value. Because stuff happens and we get hurt. And it's tough to sing that. And we confuse a whole bunch of stuff. We confuse what's in his, when he's got the ball, with when we are meant to have the ball. What are we meant to decree? What are we meant to forbid? What are we meant to permit because we've been given the keys to the kingdom? And we get confused and lump everything on his side, that everything's up to him. But he just hasn't set it up that way. Because Adam had authority and dominion, but handed it to the devil. So then for thousands of years, the enemy had authority on the earth. The Godhead was not happy with this, but allowed it to happen because he loves choice. He loves your ability to choose in the middle of lots of choices. So he allows. I don't think it's a great idea that you have kings. We want king. Okay, let's do the king thing. And let's watch that split and just become a mess. But then Jesus came at the appropriate time, right on time, Galatians 4:4. A lot of people wouldn't have said it was right on time. The people suffering for the 1,000 years before that would not have said that it was right on time. But Galatians 4:4 said that at the appropriate time, the Son of Man was born by the seed of the woman. And why did he come? He came to restore, repair, and redeem that which was lost. Often we quote those that were lost in a great evangelical sermon, It's true, he did come to save those that were lost. But depending on the translation which you choose to read and the Greek that's there behind it, he came to restore that which was lost, which was the original design and plan, which was Adam and God in the garden. Full dominion, full authority. And Jesus came and he took the keys of death back that the enemy had, the authority. And he says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end, and I hold the keys to death and hell. And then what does the word say? Who do you guys say that I am? And then Peter pipes up and he goes, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for on this rock I'm going to build my church. And Simon, little rock, I'm actually going to change your name to Peter, which is rock, which is like cornerstone. And I'm going to build my church, my ecclesia, my sent out assembly upon this rock. And this rock is that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the gates of hell will not prevail. I'll build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail, will not come against it. I will build my church, Jesus said. But he said, I will give you the keys to the kingdom. And this is the challenging part with God is good, is that he's given us authority. And we're on this journey of working out how the heck this works out. What do I do? What do I say? When do I do it? And what do you do? And what do you say? And when do you do it? And it's a real challenge. Because we get hit with stuff. And we don't know what to do. And we don't know who's responsible. And we slip into, he actually has let me down. But he hasn't. But he has. But he hasn't. It feels like he has. Because I was believing for this and this happened. So what do we do? Because we've got a choice. He loves choice. Because in these moments, I mean, often my great advice to people is I don't know. As a leader, as a pastor. So often we want to come up with answers and explanations and reasons and create theology and doctrine around what hasn't happened. And we can't afford to do that, because then we recreate the Bible and we create God into the image of what we see, like the Israelites did at the base of the mountain when Moses took his time. So we don't want to recreate what the word says around what hasn't happened and our experience. But it's really hard when our experiences are screaming at us that are contrary to what he said. So I empathize with you. I think we can all empathize with each other. The journey, the battle. David can empathize with you. Moses can empathize with you. Daniel can empathize with you. Everyone that had promotion and upgrades and breakthrough achieved in the whole Bible can empathize with us that there is a waiting, there is a journey, there is overcoming to be done. And it's not easy. And I've been pondering about this, even with my belief in divine healing and even the journey that the church has been on over the last 200 years of stepping into more of that. And what would the church be like if, you know, at the Reformation, we started to believe that salvation was by faith alone. That was a big moment in the church, in history, that salvation was by faith alone. Justification by faith alone. That he bore our sins. That it was grace through faith. That was a big marker. It's not through running through hoops or, you know, religious rituals or doing this or doing that, but it was by grace, it was by faith in Jesus that we are saved. What if healing was a part of that? What if we believe that he not only bore our sicknesses, our sins, but he also bore our sicknesses as well, like Isaiah 53 say. I always ponder what we would be walking in now if we believed both at the same time. I ponder what Bella will be walking in 20 years' time compared to what I was walking in 20 years ago. We're on a journey of believing. We're on a journey of trusting. We're on a journey of growing in our relationship with him. We're in a journey of understanding and experiencing what he's like. And so often, we're living for outcomes. And we want to see outcomes. We want to see outcomes. We want to see the things that we're believing for happen. Jesus didn't teach how to deal with unanswered prayer. He taught us how to pray and how to believe and how to see, but in the pain and in the mess and in the mistakes and the choosing here and there, he offers himself. And he says, is anyone weary? Is anyone downtrodden? Is anyone burdened? Is anyone in pain? Has anyone got wounds? If you do, come to me and I'll give you rest. His ability to see eternally is something that he has over us. Because Jesus is God. Jesus isn't just God's son. Jesus is God. He was there in the beginning. John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The word with there is pros, and it's face-to-face with God. John 17:3 says that he talks about the glory that they shared for eternity, the Father, Son, and Spirit. John 1:5 says that nothing was made without Jesus. He is good, but we're on a journey to actually believing it. You okay? So we want to live for outcomes, and outcomes are important. As I said, his ability to see eternally, he has over us. And even what Peter McHugh said is we're obsessed with circumstantial certainty. And I want things. I want to understand things. I want to know things. And it's okay to want to know things. But when our life is hinged on it, it's a challenge and it's going to hurt us because he's above it. And he offers hope and peace and joy through it all. So I've been thinking about this as I've just got this 2-centimeter hole in my gum. It's about 20 mil actually, maybe 18 mil by 11 mil. It's big, right up here, big hole, shocking. And we go through things and we get wounds. We get wounds. I got a wound in my mouth. The design is that that gets healed. The heart of the Father making our physical bodies is that that gets healed. What happens when we cut ourselves? There's a process set in motion by God for healing. The goal is that we become healed and whole, whether it's an instant miracle and there's an open wound and someone prays and it just sorts itself out straight away, or the scab and the process that he set in place happens. Praise the Lord. But what a God to set that in place. When we cut ourselves, the healing process begins almost immediately to repair, to fix the wound, to heal the wound. The scab forms, and then layers of new skin start to grow and regrow. The scab falls off, and often it will look like nothing's ever happened. And sometimes, like my beauty here, the little skin thing that got cut out, there is a scar. But scars aren't bad. Scars aren't bad, and we've all got scars. You've got a whole bunch of physical scars. Mitch has got probably 17 on his head because apparently that was what he did when he grew up. He just used to split his head open all the time. He used to come back inside, Mike used to say, with his whole face bright red, full of blood. So he's got scars. You've got scars. And they take you back to a moment where something happened. This scar here is from just, you know, Frosty Fruits, Pearl Jam, sunbaking. Just take me back to making poor choices. This scar reminds me of being a silly boy back in the day. I used to get pimples on my back and chest, and I didn't like pimples because I was embarrassed by them. So I used to go out at the start of summer and just burn myself big time, front and back, and then for summer I was sweet. But this is a mark. It's a scar. It's not a wound. It's a scar. So wounds and scars are different. What's a scar? Boom. It's on my notes. A scar is a healed wound. So on this journey of believing and trusting and wanting to know him and experience him and feel him and understand what he's like and want to experience our oneness and what he sees, because he sees further than what we see, because eternity past and eternity in the future makes this life not even a blip on the radar, not even a pinprick on the earth, let alone a pinprick on this carpet. So we want to know, we want to learn, we want to grow, we want to experience him, because he said eternal life isn't what we think it is. Eternal life is knowing him. John 17:3, knowing him. And this is eternal life, that you would know me. So when we want to live by outcome to outcome, often we'll go with our list and then stand back and hope that he answers them. And then when he doesn't the way that we want him to, then we think that he let us down. And actually in that moment, he sees further ahead and sees you and sees everything in a way that we don't. And it absolutely sucks, because I want to know. I want reassurance that he's got me and this situation. And I want to believe like Sarai and Abraham when he came to minister to Sarai when this whole Hagar situation went down. And she said, I've experienced the God who sees. Because everyone else was mistreating me and I feel embarrassed and disregarded and everyone's laughing at me because I've given birth to this child that shouldn't have happened this way. But God came when I was at the river bank and he spoke to me and he encouraged me. And that's where we first see this statement, God, Jehovah El Roy, the Lord who sees, the God who sees. So when we're going through it all and when we're learning, when we're frustrated and when we're disappointed and when we don't know and we don't know why and we're saying he has let me down, he's saying, I see you. But he doesn't just want to say, I see you, and he doesn't want to just answer lists. And he doesn't want to watch you drop the list and go over there and watch him answer it. He actually wants to grab the list and then talk to you about the list. And when we feel like he's silent and the list hasn't sorted out, he doesn't want us to run away. He actually wants to grab us and make a stay with him. And I said a couple of weeks ago, I really feel like this is like the critical ingredient to experience that he is good when we hang around in the pain with him. Because if we're only living from outcome to outcome to say that he is good, then his goodness is based on outcomes. And when we say it like that, I'm like, oh, I don't want to go through pain, but I don't want to live like that. Because if I live like that, I'm exhausted and I'm up and down and it's just a life full of pain and not much hope, joy, and love and peace. But if I can hang around, if I can have the courage to hang around, and Job 11:18 says that having hope gives you courage. If I can have the courage to hang around, I can't actually do that on my own, so I need people to help me have courage. I need to have people. David didn't want to hang around, but Jonathan ran to him and reminded him of who God said that he was and that he would be king. Jonathan didn't want to hang around in the mess. So Jonathan sought after him and strengthened David in the Lord. In 1 Samuel 23. And eventually David hung around. He didn't want to hang around. He fled to the high country and Jonathan ran after him. Because David was like, I meant to be king. I was chosen to be king, but every part of my life now doesn't look like that. And it looks like you've actually abandoned me and all the promises just look and feel like talk. But Jonathan said, you will be king, and encouraged him. And seven chapters later, the Bible says that when David went through it again, it said that he strengthened himself in the Lord. There's something about hanging around with God when the list seemingly doesn't get answered. Why? Because he wants to draw us to himself. He doesn't want to just tick off a list. He wants the list ticked off. He cares deeply about you and it. But he's more interested about drawing you to him. Because it's only him that can minister to you. It's only him that can change your mind. It's only him that can change your heart. It's only him that can heal. Okay. So we've got wounds and we've got scars. Physical wounds, physical scars. I've got a physical wound right now that will become a scar. So it's in the healing process now and it's annoying me a lot. And I've gone through, I don't know how many Nurofen and Panadol. Two and two every 4 hours for the last 7 days. Just wild. A lot. Two and two every time, every 4 hours. Because my wound is in the process of being healed. So it will eventually turn into a scar because a scar is a healed wound. So I really feel like the Lord wanting to invite us into a season of and a life of understanding wounds and scars. Because I've just been reminded of my journey, and then I was reminded on Easter, we know Isaiah 53:5, he was wounded for our transgressions. And it goes down even further, and it says, and by his wounds we are healed. So we need to acknowledge that we've got wounds and we've got scars. Physical wounds, physical scars. But not only that, we've got soul scars, emotional scars, mental scars, things that have happened to us. accidents, injuries, physical accidents, injuries, fallen off playground. Ah, this is, you know, battle wound, battle scar. This is from then. Ah, classic, me and the boys, we were, had the BMX out trying to jump something that was way too high for us. Gash my leg, 18 stitches. What a memory, classic. Fun. Other were a bit more tragic. Severe surgeries, full-on surgeries, physical. Physical wounds, physical scars. And the physical wound was weeks or months, and it was dressed and redressed and attended to and stitched and a process. Scars. Wounds. The goal is that the wound becomes a scar. What's a scar? A scar is a healed wound. Is there anything wrong with a scar? No, there's nothing wrong with a scar. Scars are great. Scars is proof that you've been healed. Physically. What about in our soul? Our spirit, we don't get spirit wounds. That's not biblical. Our spirit's perfect. But we can get wounded in our soul. Our soul's in process, the renewed mind journey of believing the finished work and outworking our salvation. Our soul gets hurt. It does. So if we're only shundalining, shundalundalunda, and reading the Bible, if we're only doing that and we don't address anything in our soul, we're going to have challenges. And we're going to wonder why it's just not feeling right or can't get any momentum in my life, breakthrough, health. But John says in one of his four books that he wrote, in the third book, towards the end of the Bible, he says, I pray that you would be in good health and that your soul would prosper. He wouldn't say that if the soul could not prosper. And Proverbs 13:12, 12:13, I often get confused with that, says that, and hope deferred makes the heart sick. So we can get wounded in our soul. And what's the goal? Is that even those would become scars. Because what does the scar represent? It means it represents a testimony. The scars, both physical and emotional, represent a testimony about what God has done with my wound. So we've either got a physical wound or a physical scar, or we've got an emotional wound or an emotional scar. And I feel like the Lord inviting us into another piece to the puzzle of how we bring heaven to earth, of how we grow in our relationship with Him, of how we lean in and learn how He is good, that isn't based on outcomes, but based on who He is and what He sees. And how he sees. I might try and get through a little bit of this. Are you okay? This is heavy, I know, but do those PowerPoints get there? Yep. Sweet. Back me? Back me? Let's do this. All right, we'll try and pump through it. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Exodus 21, 22 to 25. Once I've sort of closed out the thought, just rip them off. Is that cool? All right, let's do this. Exodus 21, 22 to 25. Wounds and scars. If people, I mean, look at these wild 613 Levitical laws that had to be upheld back in the Old Testament. This is just one of them. So I'm just going to read the verse before this. Exodus 21, 1. These are the laws you are to set before them, God telling Moses. And then it moves into this. If people are fighting and hit a pregnant woman and she gives birth prematurely but there is no serious injury, the offender must be fined whatever the woman's husband demands and the court allows. But if there is serious injury, you are to take a life for a life, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a hand for a hand, a foot for a foot, a burn for a burn, a wound for a wound, a bruise for a bruise. You can take that down. Matthew 5, 28 to 29. You've heard it said that it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And we could go on and on. A bruise for a bruise, a wound for a wound. But I say to you, do not show opposition against an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other one toward him also. So Jesus here in his first teaching is flipping the requirements of the law on its head. Everything that they had been taught for generations, flipping it on his head. Luke 16, 16. The law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. Since that time, the good news of the kingdom of God is being preached and everyone is forcing their way into it. It wasn't a throwing away of the law. It wasn't an abolishing of the law because it was something that God put in place. And because it was put in place by the Father, Son, and Spirit, it had to be fulfilled. So Matthew 5, 17, Jesus says, do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Remember, the part of the law was an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, a wound for a wound. But Jesus said, I haven't actually come to abolish it, I've come to fulfill it. So he came to fulfill the requirements of the law that said, if you screw up, there will be consequences. Jesus came to fulfill the requirements of the law that say, if you take someone's eye, then your eye will be taken. He came to fulfill the requirements of the law that said, if you knock someone's tooth out, guess what? You're losing a tooth. I did not knock someone's tooth out. But Jesus also said that he came to fulfill the requirements of the law that said that if you wound someone, you will be wounded. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Isaiah 53, 4 to 5. Just as we start the descent. Isaiah 53, 4 to 5. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. This is Jesus. This is the one who's drawing us to himself. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. So Jesus is like, you've heard it say, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, a wound for a wound. But I say there is a new normal available because I am fulfilling the requirements of the law. So that you pull that down. Thank you so much. The requirement of the law so that you don't have to. So the next PowerPoint. The word for pierced here is the Hebrew word halal. And it means wounded. Hebrew word. And it means wounded. So pierced here is interchangeable for the word wounded. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was wounded for our transgressions. And he was wounded. And by his wounds we are healed. Jesus did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. It was clear, a wound for a wound. But Jesus flipped the law on its head. And he was wounded for our transgressions. And by his wounds, we are healed. The word healed here means to be healed, to be cured, to be repaired, and to recover. Are you with me? Just like when we have physical wounds, so the same as when we have wounds in our soul. The heart of God remains the same, and that is that it would be healed. And how do you know if you've been healed? Oh, it's a testimony. It becomes a scar that you can freely talk about, that you can freely walk around using to encourage others. That there's no triggers attached. There's no reactions that pop up. There's no defense mechanisms that we put in place to protect ourselves. The difference between wounds and scars is that scars are a healed wound, and a scar is a testimony to what God has done. And you might have an open wound right now, but you've also got scars at the same time from something else. And those scars actually prophesy over your current wounds. Do it again. Those old scars that are testimonies about what he has done are actually prophetic declarations that are prophesying, do it again to your current wounds. Both physically, but more importantly, in our soul. Because we've both got right now open wounds and closed up scars. And if we can take any encouragement, we can look at these scars and they point to the cross. Psalm 147, verse 3. He heals the brokenhearted. If Mitch can jump up, that'd be fantastic. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. This is not talking about physical wounds. The Hebrew word for wounds here means sorrow and heartache. And we can try and hide wounds all day long, but it's actually impossible, because your wounds are speaking to you through triggers that pop up all the time. I've forgiven that person, but when they message me or contact me, or I hear their voice, or I see them preach, something just doesn't feel right. It's not a scar. I might have hurt you in this room. I might have hurt you, and I might not know. I don't want a queue at the end of the service. It's not healthy for me, but if there's something that you need, let's chat. But often we think, no, I'm good. And what we're actually doing is I'm stuffing down. And then when something else happens, the wound doesn't reopen because it's already open. The goal is scars. Don't let anyone tell you that scars are not good. Scars are great. Scars are so great that the resurrected Christ kept his. They said Thomas wasn't with them. Let's put it up. John 20. Let's put it up. Although Thomas the twin, this is Jesus showing up. Although Thomas the twin was one of the 12 disciples, he wasn't with the others when Jesus appeared to them. So they told him, "We have seen the Lord." It's like Philip to Nathaniel. "I've seen the Lord. Come and see him." But just like Nathaniel, Thomas said, "First, I must see the nail scars in his hands and touch them with my finger, I must put my hand where the spear went into his side. I won't believe unless I do. Next slide. Thank you so much. A week later, the disciples were together. Again, this time, Thomas was with them. Jesus came while the doors were locked. He appeared. He just appeared and stood in the middle of the group. He greeted his disciples, verse 27, and said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into my side. Stop doubting and have faith." Thomas replied, just like Nathanael did when Jesus saw him under the fig tree, "My Lord and my God." Scars are great. Scars are a testimony of what the Lord has done. Scars are healed wounds. And we've all got wounds. And to the degree that we allow the Lord in and people in to see the wounds healed will be to the degree that you bring heaven to earth. And the great thing is the Lord's not demanding you to sort this out so that you can bring heaven to earth. But it's part of this wholeness, this journey of health that he wants to take you onto. So it's heavy and it's big and it's full on. But we need peace on that God is good statement. We want to land on that. And we can land on that without having all the answers and all the circumstantial certainty. We can land on that if we hang around when we drop the list of things that we want him to do when they don't work out. It's not our past scars that are the problem, but rather our current wounds. The scars of Jesus represented healed wounds. By his wounds we are healed, but the resurrected Christ has scars. Our scars are testimonies of what we went through and what we overcame. Although our scars represent painful moments, they are to be celebrated. And if they can't be celebrated, they're not a scar. They're still a wound. And that's okay. It's not okay long term, but it's okay to be honest and acknowledge it. This is triggering, triggering, triggering. Oh, it's not a scar. It's a wound. And the Lord wants to heal the brokenhearted and bind up your wound. And this is one of those messages that we can't just leave. It's really important because it's even this morning I didn't know how I was going to get it out and the Lord's been all over it. Jesus kept his scars. Let's stand to our feet. Thanks, God. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, you're not like doctors because they're not allowed to start an operation and then leave the wound open. I wanted to actually do that when my wisdom tooth was being pulled out after about 25 minutes. I was actually going to tell her I don't want to do any more. And I thought, she's not going to let me, and the pain would be wild because it's half out. But I think sometimes this is a picture of us. Like, yeah, I'll deal with it. Yep, cool. Pray a prayer. This happened. I got hurt. I mean, there's two different, there's tragedy and loss and pain and grief and wild. And then there's things that people do to us that are heavy and big and great, but there's different levels and layers to things. There's different wounds. But the Lord, you're not going to get that wound just magically healed. It's by coming to Him. And then there'll be opportunities for you to test that out and to see if it's a scar or a wound. And make no mistake, He will provide so many opportunities for you in His kindness. I think that's all I'm going to say today. But I thank You, God, that You're not like doctors who have to finish it in one sitting. Because right now, there's some open wounds. And there's open wounds that have opened up today that we didn't realize were wounds, that we thought were scars. But in Your kindness and goodness, You're drawing us to Yourself. Yes, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we invite You in to the wounds so they become scars. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that You would, that we would do a scar inventory, that You would remind us of moments where wounds have come, and that You would show us current triggers. And are they connected? Yeah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus, for Your example, for Your model, for Your teaching, for Your life, for Your betrayal, for Your crucifixion, for Your death, for Your resurrection, for Your ascension, all while keeping Your scars as a testimony to the wounds that You went through so that we could be whole, body, soul, and spirit. In Jesus' name. If the prayer ministry team could come forward, that would be fantastic. Yeah, not now. Thank You, God. Yeah. Thank You, God. Thank You, God. So that after we finish the service, the team want to encourage you, pray. I get it that you might not want prayer this morning. You might. Great. But this kind of message, these kinds of things are to be walked out and worked out with people that you trust in your purpose group, your leaders that you've given permission to. They've got to be walked out through humility and honesty. And then great breakthrough comes on the other side of vulnerability. So tonight's going to be really special.